good morning to both of you.
Hi, Nick.
Morning, Nick.
Now, look, Stroke Awareness Week, are we not paying attention to the impact that strokes have in to many people in this country enough?
No, well, stroke is, as you've mentioned, is one of Australia's biggest killers, but it's also a leading cause of disability in Australia. And it actually affects all ages, so it doesn't discriminate, men and women, and it affects all ages. So there is a bit of a public perception that it's an older person's disease, and that's definitely not the case. So around about 30% of people under 65, sorry, 30% of strokes are in people under age 65.
Now, I didn't know that, because you're right. I think there's a very big perception that, oh, look, you know, a much older sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the research obviously doesn't back that up. Is there enough support for survivors in the country?
I think particularly amongst the young, Nick, that it's probably a misconception that it is this older person's disease and that it really does just impact older people, but it really doesn't, as Teresa's sort of highlighted, that it really affects the younger people as well. I think there's a lot of work to be done in raising awareness, particularly amongst younger people, particularly at university and at school as well, particularly in primary schools, about knowing what the risks are and actually what a stroke is and how they can reduce their risks as well.
So what sort of research has been conducted into sort of improving the lives of people who have suffered from strokes?
So I guess in terms of treatment for stroke, that's really changed over the last sort of decade or two. There's now probably quite a number of therapies that are quite innovative in the last sort of two decades that have improved the outcomes for stroke survivors considerably. One of them in particular is a blood thinning therapy called thrombolysis or RTPA, and this is an anticoagulant or blood thinning medication that can be given to patients who have stroke, and that's evidence-based to improve outcome. One of the issues with thrombolysis is that not everyone is eligible for that therapy, and they have to have that therapy within 4.5 hours of onset of signs and symptoms. So it's really important for individuals who are experiencing stroke, or if you think that someone is experiencing stroke, to get help fast and to get to the hospital immediately to optimise their eligibility for this therapy.
That's a tiny window of opportunity, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
so that's one of the key messages we want to get across this week in terms of stroke awareness, is that the rapid and speedy response is critical because it can make the difference between life and death effectively for people. So we have quite a catchy catchphrase, FAST, which is really all around signs, recognizing the signs and symptoms of stroke. So face, so looking at someone's face, has their face drooped? Is there a change to their facial appearance? Arms, are there arms? Is there a weakness in one of their arms that's apparent? And looking at their speech, is it slurred? Are they confused? Are they having difficulty understanding you? And time, as Caleb said, time is critical.
I do remember FAST from my first aid training.
Excellent.
I did feel really bad then because I couldn't remember until you said what it stood for. But yes, I do remember FAST very much. Look, what are some of the causes of strokes? I mean, is there a common kind of theme throughout these?
So there's two main types of stroke. One is called an ischemic stroke and the other is called a hemorrhagic stroke. The main type of stroke is ischemic, and that accounts for 80% of all strokes. And in terms of risk factors, there's things that you can change, and also there's things that you can't change. So obviously with age, as people get older, the risk increases considerably. But also other medical conditions such as high blood pressure or an irregular heartbeat or diabetes are medical risk factors, which also increases an individual's risk. But there are a number of modifiable risk factors, particularly around diet and exercise and lifestyle type factors that people can reduce their risk considerably. So things like if people reduce their alcohol intake, or if they're a smoker, they can stop smoking, and also getting out for regular physical activity. So some exercise on most days of the week are some of the key ways really to reduce your stroke risk.
Now, obviously, you know, people suffering from a stroke, it's affecting their life, but it's also going to be affecting the life of their carers and their family around them. Is there much of a support for the family and carers?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in Australia, there's around 450,000 people who have survived stroke and are living with the impact of stroke. So it's very prevalent in the community. And as you mentioned, it's not just that stroke survivor themselves, it's the extended family, their carers, their friends. So in Australia, part of we have a function here at UTS tonight, which we're highlighting both the research, the current research, as Caleb has touched upon, but also highlighting what's required in terms of follow-up care for those stroke survivors and their families.
And that talk is UTS Speaks, Broken Brains, Breaking Hearts. It's on at 6 p.m. tonight in the Great Hall. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. I think it's an incredibly important topic and a wonderful one to chat about this week particularly. And good luck with the talk tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.